Welcome to Believing the Bizarre on this special bonus episode coming out on the holidays, whether you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever you are doing this holiday season. Charlie and I wanted to put out this bonus Patreon sample because, one, this is the season of giving gifts and we thought it'd be fun. But also, I think this is a cool opportunity for people who aren't our patrons to kind of see what content we're putting out. We talk about it every week during episodes. Oh, we have quizzes. We interview people. We do this game and that game. Sure, you know, that sounds great, but I think it's cool to actually get a little sample, a little taste of what that is. So we actually chose three segments that we've done over the last like 8 months. We're going to do our social media response. We're going to do You Believe the Bizarre, which for those of you that heard us with Haunting Season, that will be familiar. And our listener submission interview, which is with Isaac from Hidden in the Shadows podcast. So the first thing you're going to hear, which this is also your first introduction to producer Ben. Producer Ben helps us out a lot on social media, on the website, and on Patreon. So you'll get a little bit of that. But the first thing we have is the social media response. Every single Monday on Instagram, there's a question out there. Would you rather do this? Would you rather spend the night here? Or would you rather spend the night in a cemetery or a haunted house? What would you do if your best friend got abducted? Every Monday, we put these out on social media and you guys respond. And in this segment of Patreon, we respond to your responses. So the clip that we're giving you today is the social media question, which was, would you rather be in a slasher movie or a zombie movie? So here it is, and enjoy.
So for the last one for the month, on the 27th, would you rather be stuck in a slasher movie or a zombie movie?
Oh, yes.
Grim Confetti said slasher. Kristen Portal Rodart said zombie movie. I feel like it honestly wouldn't be that difficult to work around them. LC Metcalf says zombie movie. I've read The Zombie Survival Guide. I'm all good.
Good book.
Stargazer Ghoul says, depends. Am I the slasher?
I like
that.
That's
a good question.
I like that. No, you're not.
Katie Allosaurus says, zombie. Slashers are so stabby. Emily Joy 19 says, slasher, because final girls are hotties.
The final girl? Oh, like the girls that live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Audrey says, zombies. Zach Connor 13 says, either or is fine. Kind of not what we're going for here, man.
No, they're both cool. I'll die either one. It's all good.
It's all right. I'm going to be the first one out anyway. Pansexual Pupperino says slasher. Shadow Silverblood also says slasher. There's a lot of slashers.
I'm really surprised by the amount of people that said slasher.
I think one of the things that you got, maybe this is something we need to look at, is which kind of zombie. Because you're going out and let me dead, and I'm like, man, they're persistent, but they're really not that bad. Walking Dead, man, not that bad.
You're talking like 28 days.
Yeah. You know,
like you're infected rage virus.
You're screwed.
Which is the more plausible zombie?
Probably the rage, yeah. Actually. I think it's more likely that people kind of go crazy and attack that way versus like reanimation.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Brook 02 says, depends if I'm one of the people that the slasher is after.
Well, if you are in the movie, they're coming for you. They're not like, no, you're all right. You're all right. Except for Pumpkinhead. Did you guys ever see Pumpkinhead?
No.
Yes.
I knew you were going to see Pumpkinhead.
I've seen a couple of them.
He always goes for the people that, well, the one that I watched, he goes for the people that wronged him. Mm-hmm. But if he didn't wrong you or you didn't wrong him, he just like walks past you. Like, I got my eyes on you. Don't call me ugly. I'll be back for you in the sequel.
Keto Clay says, you know, for me, it's zombie.
I didn't know.
we didn't, but we still appreciate you responding to everything.
Beyond the Shadows Pie says, higher survival rate in a zombie movie, so gotta go with that one. And then Josh Moore 5577 brings up, depends on the kind of zombies. Is it the Shaun of the Dead slow ones, Dawn of the Dead where they can run, or World War Z where you're basically screwed?
Or where they're CGI.
I appreciate the reference to Shaun of the Dead. Probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Shaun of the Dead is amazing.
I love Shaun of the Dead. Have you ever seen that, Tyler?
Yes.
Okay.
I like those guys. They're the same ones from Paul.
Yeah, I like
and
them
the
too.
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
Dude, there was
amazing.
A time where I watched Hot Fuzz every weekend for like 4 months. I'm serious.
pretty dedicated.
I just really enjoyed it. It was a comfort thing.
I always kind of pictured them as our archetypes. Yeah. If we made it into like, comedy films. Yeah.
I definitely hope I'm a Nick Frost.
Right there is a, that's going to be a, we'll have to do a wallpaper for it.
Where it's our faces?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't use Shaun of the Dead, but.
No, I think that's perfect.
So can we use it for copyright?
We can do Paul if you want to be Paul.
Well, because I have a red beard and Seth Rogen does Paul.
Yeah, well, there's a third person too.
Wow. Well, I could be
the computer.
I could be Peter from The Roommate.
Oh, the dead one?
Come on, Sean. Yeah, you remember when I got drunk? That was 5 years ago.
I will say, my lookalike is in Paul, apparently Jason Bateman. Multiple people say I look like Jason Bateman.
I could see
it. I don't mind it.
I do like Jason Bateman.
What would you do? What movie do you pick, Tyler?
Okay, so here's the thing. My answer, because I literally have fantasies about this, like being a little kid playing Left 4 Dead. Zombies I actually, like, there's a moment where it's like the zombie fad of like the middle 2000s to like through the 2010s. That zombie fad was like amazing to me, but then it also got to the point where like I was in that teenage phase and I was like, oh, now they're not cool because everyone likes them, even though I wanted that phase to happen and then it did, which was amazing. So I love zombies. I've imagined myself being in zombie movies. One of my best friends lives out in the middle of nowhere and he has a barn. And I always imagined if a zombie apocalypse happened, I would go out there with him and we would survive. Now, that being said, while dying in a slasher movie would suck because the searing pain of getting like stabbed and stuff just sounds terrible. But at the same time, the death you would suffer in a zombie movie is probably so much worse than the average death of a slasher movie. Would you guys agree with that? Have you seen like the zombie movies where like the zombies pick someone up and they just start like ripping their stomach open and pulling intestines out? Like, I'd rather get stabbed one time in like the chest and Michael Myers is like, oh, my job here is done. I'm going to go slow walk.
I understand what you're saying. So
my answer is zombie movie, if that's not clear.
Okay. I pick zombie movie for sure, just because I like guns and I like sharp things. I feel like I'm well equipped.
Those are in slasher movies sometimes.
Yeah, too. But you never get to use those effectively in slasher movies. Like, I like the idea of doing mass violence without repercussions. And I always have a plan. I've had a zombie plan since I was in high school that I'd jump on a boat, like I'd get like a yacht.
Didn't work out for Dawn of the Dead though.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw Dawn of the Dead. I do it better.
How prepared are... How many zombie movies have you seen?
Several.
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead. A couple. I've seen a couple.
You know, like, Shaun of the Dead a second time.
I didn't like the other one.
Night of the Living and to Haunted counter, Dead.
To counter your point about dying really painfully in a zombie movie.
Yeah.
You gotta take yourself out.
What if you don't have the opportunity?
You gotta make time.
You gotta make time to best. Die.
Just hold the guys off for 1 second. Let me break my own neck.
All right. That's my answer.
I kind of feel like we just found out that you're a sociopath. Like, dude, you can just murder people without repercussions. This is great. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah. I got some people on my hit list.
Are you a zombie? No. I heard yes. Rat-a-tat-tat.
Are you groaning?
Do you like brains? No, that's...
So what would you been?
Yeah.
I'd pick slasher movie because I love slasher movies. I grew up kind of like how you do with zombies. I grew up watching Jason like as a kid and like they'd always play like on USA or something.
Like, so what's your AMC. Plan here? You're going to like try to do therapy for this guy? Like,
no, I love Jason like within reason. He's just so dreamy. I love the Michael Myers, the Halloweens. I just, those movies, you know, like Jason SpaceX. Or whatever it was. 10.
Oh, God.
Oh, so bad.
See, that would be my death of choice. Like, I want him to pull up my shirt just so you can see a little bit of my underboob. And then he puts in my head the nitroglycerin or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then break my face on the table. No.
I would just look, cause, like, running through the woods. I'd like that.
he's chasing me.
But also, yay.
See, got these Crocs keto, on and keto my would walking be fine. Sticks.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be like, ah. I'm good to go.
We're all day.
Full of energy.
Yeah, I think I'd choose slasher just because I've always enjoyed them.
I would hope if I died in a slasher movie, I'd be a boring death. Not like one of those, like in Freddy versus Jason, where Jason takes the guy in the bed and folds the bed the wrong way. Like, I don't want to die that way.
Yeah, you're just like, oh my God, just slit my throat. He's like, no, just right here, just right here. Make sure you get it. Make sure you get it.
I'm about to Tempur-Pedic your ass. Boom. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
You know what? Maybe we shouldn't watch new movies on our thing. Maybe we should watch the classics, Charlie.
No.
There's so many references you need to know. You never watched Freddy vs. Jason?
No.
So good.
So is that it?
That's it. That's all of them.
In this game, Do You Believe the Bizarre? You might be a little bit familiar with it because we played it on our main feed with Josh from Haunting Season. A little bit different than how we do on Patreon. On Patreon, we have three stories. Two of them were found online. One of them was written by our producer, Ben. Love producer Ben. And Tyler and I have to guess on which ones we find believable and which ones we find unbelievable. And we hope you enjoy this round because we think it is one of the scariest ones that we've put out. And it's a lot of fun.
All right, are you guys ready for round three?
Let's do it.
All right. Road Trip.
That's tomorrow. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, it is. No, Thursday.
Thursday. That's right.
It was the summer of 2003, and my friends and I were graduating from Emporia State University in Kansas. We were excited and nervous at the same time. The three of us had been best friends since our freshman year. Jenny and I were assigned as roommates our first year, and Adrian was on our floor, too. The three of us hit it off instantly, and by our senior year, had an off-campus apartment together. Our time at Emporia was great, and I couldn't have asked for better friends to enjoy our time for those 4 years. We were all going our separate ways shortly after graduation. Adrian was moving to California with a tech company called Vendatech, doing something computery. Jenny was moving to Osborne, working a boutique designing dresses and other apparel. And I was moving to Nickerson, working with social services to help victims of domestic violence. It was a bittersweet moment, and to celebrate our time together, we decided to go on a road trip. We were all from Kansas and hadn't really been out of the state much other than our spring break trip to Austin, Texas. We had planned to go to South Padre Island. It was a long trip, but we were excited. Unfortunately, it was a trip we wouldn't forget, for all the wrong reasons. The trip started off well, and we stopped at the gas station and grocery store to get all the snacks and goodies that any college grads would do. Cheetos, gummies, cookies, basically a 12-year-old's dream. We were all excited and spent the first few hours of the trip reminiscing on our times in college and about the opportunities ahead of us. The trip was going great and we were having fun until we hit a dog in some West by God town in Texas. At least we thought it was a dog. Jenny was driving and it was dusk and the animal had just started out of the side of the road. Jenny had tried to swerve but she couldn't avoid it. After she slammed on the brakes and we made sure we were okay, we got out to look at the poor dog. But it wasn't a dog. His black fur was matted and he smelled like death. At first, I thought it was because of getting hit by the car, but that wasn't it. The creature was still breathing and making a guttural, rasping sound as it was trying to get up. Its back legs were longer than any dog I had seen, but its front legs were shorter than they should have been. The fur reminded me of an old shag carpet that my parents had in the basement. It looked coarse and matted with something sticky. Adrian tried to get close to it, but it started snarling and she backed away. And then we heard a howl behind us. We turned around to see two pair of eyes in the bushes. Whatever this thing was, it wasn't alone. We ran back to the car as fast as we could and tore out of there just as the other two animals came out and started attacking the animal we hit. For the next 3 hours, we hardly said a word to each other. To this day, 3 years later, we haven't talked about what kind of animal we hit or why the other ones were started attacking it. It still chills me to the bone this day.
It's probably like an hour later. Like, yo, pass me the Cheetos. Like, I know we're all freaked out, but I got the tummy grumbles.
Feels, I don't know. Feels kind of natural. Circle of life. You know?
I know that song.
Yeah. Because
sweet dreams are Simba. All
right. There are monsters under the bed.
Yep.
Ooh. Good. That's like such a cliche moment of every movie.
My son is doing this thing now where he says there's monsters in his bedroom.
No.
Yeah. And he's like, they're in my closet. They're in the ceiling. The ceiling one freaks me the fuck out. I'm not going to lie. Because I'm like, where are the monsters? He's like, the ceiling? And I'm like, what?
He's just pulling shit out of his head.
He's like, this.
The ceiling. Like, won't you check in my closet, Daddy?
He pushes me in.
Now there's a big old monster in there.
There you go, monster. Don't be mad at me. I fed you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
My dad's a bitch.
Feed me, Seymour.
Feed me.
All right. There are monsters under the bed. I am 22, and this incident happened a year and a half ago. I had just moved into my first apartment and was in the process of moving in. The door that led into my apartment locked itself automatically when closed. So I was going to the entrance of the apartment complex to get my mail while talking on the phone with my boyfriend. I returned to my apartment and sat on the bed while opening the mail while using the phone. I dropped the phone on the floor and it landed under the bed, so I had to lie on the floor and stretch for it. I saw something that caught my eye. There was someone under my bed. My eyes widened and I choked the urge to scream. The person under my bed was lying still with his back towards me and his head to his chest, so I couldn't see his face. And he didn't see me. Trying to be rational while so many thoughts rushed through my head, I picked up the phone and said, "Sorry, I dropped my phone. I'm just going to take a shower and call you back." The bathroom is right by my bed, so I hastily walked in, quietly locked the door, turned the shower on, and jumped out of my window. My apartment is on the first floor. And then I called the police. They told me to wait nearby, but to go across the street and see if anyone comes out the door of the apartment complex. This was during the summer, and it was still light out. I placed myself across the street, hiding behind a car, while watching my open bathroom window and the entry door. I called my boyfriend, and he came to me just before the police. I gave them my keys, and they went inside. Only moments later, two cops came out holding a thin and tired-looking man. His eyes looked crazy, but he didn't try to get away. The policeman had stood beside me and comforted me while the police searched throughout my house. I was a mess, shivering and crying. They told me the man stood outside my bathroom door with one of my kitchen knives, waiting for me to come out. The man had somehow crept in my entry door while I was getting my mail and hid under the bed. The man that was trying to hurt me turned out to be a homeless person and was placed in a mental hospital. My boyfriend moved in with me the very next day.
That is so terrifying.
That is the scariest story you've ever told us.
Were you expecting the cops to come out and saying they didn't find anyone?
Yeah.
So it definitely grounded it in reality when you said that they found someone. But I was ready for you to say nobody came out. But even that, like, just imagine this dude standing by the shower with a knife.
Oh my God.
Just waiting for...
You guys got to see this. It's nuts.
Oh.
No, I agree. That is one of the scariest things you've told us.
Yes.
Blech. Alrighty. Are you ready for the third and final story?
Is this scarier than the last one?
No.
Okay.
Straight up, no.
Dollywood gone bad.
Oh, it's not scarier.
When I was a kid, my grandma gave me 10 Barbie dolls she got at a yard sale. I didn't like Barbies very much, but these particular ones were weird. They were from the 60s, and this was in the late 80s. Some of them had their eyes blacked out. The majority of them didn't have any clothes, and a few of them had writing on them that I couldn't read. They creeped me out, so I put them in a box in the back corner of my closet with a bunch of stuff piled on top of it. After I got them, I would have this recurring dream about a little girl named Rose who would tell me that my dolls weren't supposed to be naked and that the naked dolls would get us in trouble. She would then dress them and line the dolls up on my bed. Rose scared me. She was always dirty, had blacked out eyes like the dolls, and smelled horrific. Sometimes I could still smell her when I would wake up from those dreams, but I didn't tell anyone about her because the dreams were so scary and real. Usually, the day after I had that dream, we would come home after being gone all day. No one would be home at all. And those dolls would be dressed, lined up, side by side, on my bed. Just like my dream. My mom would always be unsettled by the discovery because no one would have to be home to have done this, and because the dolls creeped her out too. After this happened several more times, I finally told my mom about the dream. She tried to hide the fact that it freaked her out, but I could tell. The last time I had my dream, I told my mom about it right when I woke up. Before we left for the day, my mom locked all the dolls in our shed that we had in the backyard, but when we got home that night, dolls were all lined up on my bed, completely dressed. We took the dolls to the dump the next day, and I'd never had that dream or saw or smelled Rose again.
That's pretty scary, too.
That's not good, man.
That's pretty scary.
What was the first story?
Road trip.
Oh. Oh, man.
I'm glad I'm going second on this one. This one's tough.
Yeah. You said...
You've gotten good at this, Ben.
You said, was it...
Road trip.
Horror at Dollywood or something?
Dollywood Gone Bad.
That, yeah. I was like, oh, we saw Dolly Parton's movies. So.
Oh, no. It looked fantastic.
Unbelievable. They're not real.
She's like 90. Or she's dead, right?
No, she's alive.
I keep thinking she's dead.
I will never forget that you couldn't do this nowadays, but I used to watch David Letterman back in the day, and Dolly Parton was on. Dolly Parton's like one of the nicest people ever. And they were talking, and he goes, I'd give about a month's pay to see what you got under there. Wow. And I was like, you couldn't do that now.
No.
Not that it was right to do it then.
No.
Oh, man.
So you have Road Trip.
Yeah.
Monsters Under My Bed, and Dollywood Gone Bad.
I'm really tempted to do Unbelievable, Believable, Believable. But I think the writing... Did you write that second story?
I don't know.
Did you write that third
story? It was so scary.
I know. I did it to my students. They asked me a question. Like, is it A? I'm like, I don't know. Is it busy? I'm like, I don't know.
It's in the student. It's in the teacher guide, and I haven't read it yet. I don't even know the answer.
I don't know. I just say I don't know until I get through all of them. I'm like, I don't know, man. And I get mad.
Fucking tell me, Mr. Leopold.
I'm gonna go.
I'm no help, dude. I don't even have the. I have this narrowed down to three.
They're all
narrowed down to three.
I'm gonna go believable. I want the second one to be unbelievable. But I'm going to go believable, believable, unbelievable.
Okay. Oh, you're saying the dolls are fake.
I hope so.
Here's the thing. All right, here's where you have to get quiz savvy. Did he go into this thinking all three first stories are going to be unbelievable? What are the odds that all three first ones are? The first story of round one was unbelievable. First story of round two is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Did he do a clean sweep?
No.
Or did he say, okay, I already did the first option in round one and two, so now round three's has to be different. Or did he think there's no way they would assume?
All three were unbelievable?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What did you choose?
Believable? Believable, believable, unbelievable.
Okay.
Two is so creepy.
I know. I hope it's not real. I hope I'm wrong.
It's so creepy.
You were like, I can feel how uncomfortable you seem to be.
I felt it too. Oh, I think I was feeling off of your energy on that.
I did not like that.
Both of them, like especially number two, but I could feel it for number three as well.
I think it was he's primed by two.
I was clenching for both. I was like, that's a really good ghost story. Oh, yeah, I was clenching everywhere.
I could definitely see you writing one.
I think he's better than writing one. I think I'm going to walk in. I did the same thing last time. I think he's better.
Yeah, that one was trash.
No, I think he's better than
the first one. But we did just do Michigan Dog Man, and it had kind of like a dog vibe, so maybe he got inspired by that.
I don't think so. I think he wrote this like in October.
I'm gonna try and give you credit, Ben, because that was hands down one of the scariest ones that we've heard. It definitely feels like it could have been a real report, because it was very clear-cut. Like, it could have been where the first one definitely is like a... I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm gonna go... it could easily be one. I'm going to go unbelievable. Or should I go believable? Fuck. I don't know. I'm going to go unbelievable. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to go believable, unbelievable, believable. I'm going to say the second story you made.
And you're saying the third story I made.
Yeah, I think Ben loves this part. He's like,
I do.
Ho, ho, ho.
I do.
It's when you...
You're both wrong.
Damn it! It was one. He did a clean sweep.
The second one's believable.
Yep.
Was it intentional that you were like, "I'm every round one is going to be
you"? Sometimes I switch them up, but the reason I did in this one is how they flowed with the other stories. Yeah. So I pick how they.
So two and three were believable.
Yeah. So let me see.
That makes me want to jump off a bridge. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
So this next segment that we're including, and the final one for this Patreon sampling, is one that actually a lot of Patreons asked about and said that it was their favorite. So as you guys know, Our main episodes include listener submissions, where people can write us their experiences, these personal encounters, and we turn them into episodes. Well, obviously, we don't have the firsthand information. We only go off what is written to us. So these listener submission interviews are a really good opportunity for deeper dives. We can ask the questions that we talk about on the episode. They have an opportunity to go further in detail with things that happened since they submitted their story, or maybe something they left out or something maybe we left out. This next one is absolutely crazy, and I mean that in the most respectful and awesome way. It will blow your mind. This is our listener submission interview with Isaac from Hidden in the Shadows podcast. He submitted the original episode, The Multiverse Theory, but this goes into something completely different. I think you're going to enjoy it. So here is that interview now. So give us the new deets, give us the new theory. I'm really excited to hear this.
Okay, like I was saying before, it's not that I choose to have the weirdest life and experience in existence, but another thing that adds the layer of stuff that's happened. Now, September of last year, over different TikToks and Instagrams of psychics and mediums, they're always saying the same thing, that there's going to be a great awakening of people who had abilities, or if you already have abilities, you're going to start gaining more abilities or something like that. Anyway, I didn't think any of it. I've never had psychic abilities or even had any form of that my entire life. And I'm 33 now. So 33 years of my life, nothing. But as of September of last year, things started happening. And what happened is that I gained an ability that took a little bit of practice. When I say master, yeah, I'm still yet to master it. But control is I gained an ability in my hands. And I gained the ability to absorb the energy of the dead, if that makes any sense.
No, not at all. Yeah, please keep going.
So what I explain to people it as is that my left hand can feel in the energy of the dead. Like if a ghost is in the room, a person, the energy that they essentially would absorb to be on our plane. Like when you see lights flicker, or batteries drain, or like electronics mess up, it's them absorbing that energy to be here. That energy I can feel. And it almost feels like the sensation when your hand goes to sleep, when you got that numbing thickness, like tingling in your hands. That's what it feels like. And the stronger it gets, the closer they are to me. Left hand is for people, for ghosts, for humans, what I figured out. My right hand is for dark spirits, demons, things of evil. That's what I figured out. And part two of this, well, one of the many parts of this ability is that I can pull that energy into myself. Almost like, in a funny way, like a Ghostbusters gun, like absorbing the spirit into my hand. Like I'm pulling it in. And most people's follow-up question is that is, where does that energy go? I can't give a clear answer, but my body works like a filter. And over time, depending on the strength of the spirit, I will expel it out of my mouth almost like a breath. Not like Green Mile. There's no bugs flying everywhere. But almost like
a great movie, though.
Yeah. Almost like a breath. Like, and it just leaves me. And it's neutral energy, apparently. It's what I've been told by other psychics that we've talked to. And this ability is almost like a ghost detector or EMF detector. Because anytime we're in any place that's haunted, because I'm also an investigator, I can find them. I can get close. I can tell you, oh, yeah, someone's over there. Someone's over there. I can't see them or I can't even hear them, but I can feel them with my hands. And that's about it. But what the upper level version of this is that I've learned to put my hand to the earth and feel out with immense areas, like maybe 100 yards in every direction, and then pull everything in that radius to me. And I've done this on a couple of occasions at certain locations, and everyone, even witnessing myself, the room, say a place is very haunted by dark spirits or something, and then I take all that energy in, and then the room or house feels good. You don't feel angsty. You don't feel anxious. You don't feel like you're on edge. The fight or flight just disappears. I remember I did it one time in the woods where we were investigating, and when I pulled, and everyone stood, like we're kind of like a semicircle. And after I pulled and I stood up, we all looked around and the forest was lighter. Like you can see everything. It wasn't so dark and shaded. You can actually see things clearly with your eyes. You didn't need a flashlight. And we were all freaking out. Like, what? The moon just come out? Because it's been out the whole night and there was no clouds. So we were trying to figure that out. Now, this ability is so rare amongst psychics and mediums and stuff like that, that I couldn't find anything on it. Anything. So I was like, am I the only one again to deal with this stuff? No. I talked to a psychic in Australia. Her name is PETA, like the Hunger Games character. She had a friend named Jane who is the same thing. Because when I described this ability to her, I'd asked her, because I asked every psychic, every medium, maybe hoping to get a little bit, even every paranormal investigator, because they've dealt with psychics and stuff. They've never heard of it, except for her. And she said her friend Jane does the same thing. But Jane's had it since she was a kid. So she's already mastered it. She's had it for decades. And she's in her late 30s, 40s now. And she actually helped me figure out what it's called. And you're basically a shadow walker is what the terminology is. A shadow walker is someone who walks between the light and our reality or our realm and their realm. But she only deals with good human spirits. And what she does, she pulls that energy and she basically crosses them over to the other side. I just take the energy, absorb it, and expel it. And they can't, after I take the energy, they can't do anything to you anymore. So if you're in a room with a dark entity that's trying to mess with you, moving shit around, scratching you, I pull the energy away from them and they basically have to start over again by getting the energy enough to be on the plane. Sorry, I had a weird thing at the computer. But yeah, a shadow walker is what I am now. And ever since this ability came to me, the episodes went away and it's like that. And then I started talking to this lead psychic named Mike, who has died 3 times. He has issues with his organs and stuff like that, but he's come back every single time. And his abilities are very shamanistic. That's how I can describe it. He's not in a sense like he can tell you to feature anything like that, but he is a guide for people who are psychic and he helps you figure out your abilities and help you follow the right path to figure them out. Anyway, after talking to him, he was saying that you apparently have had this ability over multiple lives. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, this is not the first time we've met. This is like, we keep meeting each other over and over again. But like I said before, I don't choose to have the weirdest shit happen to me, but yeah, now being a paranormal investigator and having this ability has given me, I say purpose, but almost a direction. And I look forward to investigating more because what I've learned that I can do is I can make a place less haunted by being there. But the ultimate test is still something I'm yet to do because I'm yet to meet anybody or have a case where it happens. But we've talked about this before. And I don't know if you guys in your episodes, you ever talked about demons before or not.
Minimally, like the Annalise and stuff like that.
Bob and Mackey's.
Yeah, but
you talk about possession, please. But the ultimate test for this ability is to see if I can pull a demon out of someone who is possessed. That's the final test. That's the ultimate way that I can determine this ability is what it is. And the funny thing is, there's no way to prove this ability to anybody, which is extremely frustrating because you can't see it, can't feel it. The only thing I can ever really do is maybe set off an EMF detector. Like if an EMF detector is around my hands when I'm pulling, you see the needle shoot up. That's about it. I think only the definitive proof. Maybe a full spectrum camera can see it, but other from that, like I tell people, believe it if you want to believe it, but it's mostly it's up to you, up to anyone whoever listens to it, whether they believe me or not.
Man, that almost sounds like a comic book. That sounds awesome.
So how did you come to the conclusion left hand human spirits and right hand dark spirits? Like what was the trial and error process, or like how did you come to that conclusion and decide or discern that that's the truth?
The investigations we've done. And then, of course, me and Megan's house is haunted. We are constantly having people show up. And Megan would tell me, oh, so-and-so is here. Don't worry, they're not a problem. And I'd feel around and I could feel them with my left hand. But the test that told me that your right absorbs evil is well, it's funny, it's your Patreon, so it's not going to ruin for our episode. But our upcoming episode, Ghost Stories 4, one of these nights, it was last Halloween. And I was outside barbecuing with my son and it was dark and he just wanted to be outside with me. And we were out there and I was just standing, just letting the meat cook. And I was standing out there and I see a shadow figure run past me. And it was big enough and deep enough that it blocked out the light. So I looked and what the heck is that? And I started like feeling around because maybe I could feel where it is. And then my right hand got a strong pull, like very thick, I guess I call it, but very like intense. I could feel it. And I followed it. And my son was giving me his little hand signals because he has a speech delay, so he can't really talk that much. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have a little hand signal to describe what he's feeling or what he wants. And he gave me a hand signal for scared. I'm scared. And I was like, what do you mean? What are you scared of? And he pointed in the direction where my hand was pulling.
Oh, wow.
And Megan came out. She goes, what's wrong with Killian? I was like, I don't know. He's scared of something. And she asks Killing, what are you scared of? And he gives like a monster face. Like he's scared of something that's like, it looks like a monster. And Megan says, I don't know what's over there, but I'm getting like very dark vibes from it. So I walk towards it. And I guess on instinct or just maybe a feeling, I decided to pull. And when I pull, it feels like my arm just flexes. And then I feel that energy coming in. And I pulled and the energy was so strong. It felt like liquid electricity running over my entire hand and arm, all the way up to my shoulder. I pulled whatever it was, and it ran from me. But it ran, and Megan followed where I guess where it ran, and she heard it whisper her name in the backyard. It was dark time anyway. Whatever I pulled still had enough energy to stay on the plane to call out her name. But she said it was scared because it ran from me. One investigation that we did at a library, that same energy, that intensity, I've never felt, because most investigations, it's just in my palm or my hand, maybe my forearm, depending on the strength of the entity, because I've classified them as smoke and sand. Smoke is very tangible. You can feel it, but it's not that strong. I can pull it in like air. Sand, of course, a little coarser, harder, but I can still pull it in. It causes me more pain to do so, especially the stronger ones. They fight. They do not want to be taken off the plane. They fight me when I take them off. But I've come to wear certain bracelets with stones. I have a crucifix bracelet. I have a St. Benedict medallion bracelet, but St. Benedict is the patron saint of exorcists. So, but yeah, I never give two craps into stones and like gems and stuff like that until I became an investigator, because on my wrist, these like amethysts and crystals and whatever like that would vibrate on my wrist as I pulled. Like It would feel the energy going through my wrist and they vibrate. Which I was like, holy crap, I never experienced that before. But as I was saying before, we were in a library one time and we brought an investigator who was in Jewish belief and stuff like that. And we brought him in because he's very good with prayers and stuff like that. So he did a prayer to help the spirits there cross over, to basically move on, to leave. You don't have to be stuck here anymore. And so many crossed over in a good way. Like I felt good to do that. But I got a sensation in my left hand, and I was like, oh, okay, as a person, I guess they're leaving. But the sensation got stronger and stronger and stronger, and then my entire left arm was charged. Like, I could feel the energy run through my entire left arm. And the only thought that came to my mind is, what on the left side of my hand, the spectrum of good and evil, like, what that good could give off that amount of energy? And the only thing in conclusion come up is possibly an angel.
That's what I just thought, too.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I guess this is what an angel feels like. And one of the investigators, he was like, hey, don't take it off the plane. I was like, I don't think I could if I would have wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
And then because if the intensity level on the right feels like that, then the left would feel like that. So that's why I guess differentiate from angels and demons, how I feel them and how I experience them. But most of the time, 98% of the time, it's always just a dark entity or a dark person. Someone that's just wants looking out to hurt people and cause pain and all around a-holes, essentially.
So let me ask you really quick. How close do you feel in terms of being ready to take on somebody who's possessed? Are you working toward that? Or like, what is the process of like finding someone, like through the church or online? Like,
well, the investigators that I'm on teams with and stuff like that, I am on a team with, they've done possession cases before. They've experienced it. Actually, one of the members on the team, she has been possessed. She described the situation to me, how it felt like being trapped in your head while someone else is driving. And she's basically, her entire experience of it, she only gives me small details, but she talks about how it was not, she has post-traumatic stress from it.
Understandably.
From the experience. But as it's been told to me by the other investigators who had dealt with it, it's a long fight. It's a battle. And they've done exorcisms themselves, which is dangerous, but it is possible. Either way, they'd have a priest on call, or just couldn't get the one in time and didn't want to allow this thing to get any stronger. But what they've told me is that when a demon first enters somebody, it takes time for them to get stuck there. So if you get them quick, you get them out, then it'd be easier versus like someone's just not telling anybody that I've been possessed or anything like that. And they're kind of like saying, I'm fine. Kind of like an illness. Like, oh, I don't need to go to the doctor for that. I'll be fine. And just let it get worse. Cause I've actually been studying demonology on the side. Just, know your enemy and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that's basically what I've learned, is that if you can get it quick, but I'm pretty sure in our investigations, we're going to come across another person, is because we put that out there as an investigation team is that we're not looking to get fame or fortune or be on the Travel Channel or anything like that. We're looking to help people, because I remember Lorraine Warren said it best, is that when people go to the doctor when they're sick, they go to, you know, they go to the police for crimes, but they don't have anybody to go to with, in situations of the paranormal. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're for. And that's what was like really stuck with me, because that's what I wanted to do. Now that I have this ability that literally makes me walk into any place that's haunted and nothing can touch me because I can take it off the plane before it does, which makes me also a valuable asset to any paranormal investigation team, because with me along, you can determine whether or not the place is haunted or not. Mm-hmm. I can feel, oh yeah, there's somebody here.
It's kind of cool, because like this drive that you've had your entire life has kind of been leading you to this moment, or at least to last September, where it's like a swordsman who's always wanted to battle and never got a sword, and then he finds a sword. Or, you know what I mean? It's kind of like you got the tool now to complement the drive or the passion that you've always had. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I know. Funny when you said this, like a superhero thing, is that what Brandon, one of the lead investigators, he says, like, this is like, he's never heard anybody have this ability before. It's like, yeah, it's almost like superhero-ish and stuff like that. And I was like, well, and essentially it's not, but psychics and mediums all that around the world, they have abilities to figure people out. And it's always like minimum. It's never 100% guess. It's always like, sometimes like even Megan will get an answer to a question she never asked. And then maybe months later, oh, that's what it was for. Stuff like that's happened to her a lot. Like she would like tell her, like someone gives her a number 45 and it's like, what is that for? And the spirit runs away. I'm like, that's not helping. And then months later, it's like, oh, okay, that's what it was for. But with mine, it's always very direct. It's this or that. And funny enough, the danger when it comes to demonic cases and possession, the danger of that is that when you're in a room with something, that demon can easily jump from one person to the other. I guess another piece of armor to this weapon I have is that what I've been told, I'm impenetrable. Because psychics and mediums that we've met and talked to have told me, like, looking at me is like looking at a door with light around the edges. You can't see what's inside, but you know something's in there. But no, my sister-in-law, also a psychic, but her ability is very direct and it's very specific, is that she sees people as colors of orbs, right? She can always see the true essence of themselves. There's a lot of different people who can do that. Like they see, oh, you're blue or you're green or you're orange. Like I see colors like on people. Like there's those psychics too.
That's what Lorraine Warren had, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Oh, amongst many things she could do. But she told me when she looks at different people, she sees like almost like an orb that's like dripping energy or something, and it's of different colors. And she sees everyone like that. But when she looks at me, all she sees is a solid metal ball. Like a solid, like almost like a smooth, shiny ball, like it's made of hematite or some other kind of metal that's just like that gray, solid, smooth metal. And she can't figure out what's in there. And I was like, what do you mean you only see me as a metal ball? Like, I only see you as a metal ball. You're shielded or protected or something. I can't see anything from you. And she's not the only psychic that's ever described not able to read me. Like, some say they can't figure things out. They can figure things around me, but can't, like, figure me out. I would say almost like in the case of like of a possession or like a demonic case, I'd be able to pull the energy out. Worst case scenario, if in like say we're in a demonic case, I'll pull the energy enough to weaken it so someone can easily do exorcism like that. Best case is I can pull the demon out of the person, take the energy, absorb it, and basically send them back to hell or wherever demons come from. That's best case. Worst case, I just take the amount of energy away from them to weaken it so someone could perform an exorcism and get the demon out of the room real quick. The worry that Megan had about it is because it could penetrate. But the thing is, if I'm shielded, essentially, it won't have a chance to get in.
You're like the ultimate asset to an investigation team.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Oh, man. So we're going to cap this here, but I know this won't be the last time we speak.
So that is our Patreon sampler, where we got a couple of things that we really enjoy putting out. We hope that you liked it, because we know we did putting it out. And if you are interested in hearing more, please feel free to go to our Patreon, Believe in the Bizarre. And as always, thank you for listening to Believe in the Bizarre, podcast as bizarre as you are.